several years in Florida. John chapter 21, I want to begin reading at verse number 1. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish, which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet the net was not broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and saith unto them, And fish likewise, This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight we come to you in prayer. Our hearts have been blessed with music that we've just listened to. Appreciate this evening your blessings, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that tonight I'm quite certain most of the folks within this service can say it's well. It's well with my soul. Thank you, Father, for the dawning of the new day when Christ came in. Thank you, Lord, that after a turbulent night of sin, Jesus Christ calmed the storms within our soul. And our Father, thank you tonight for blessing our hearts the way you have. Speak to us now as we look into the Word of God. Address every need tonight. May no one leave this building with unfinished spiritual business. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's many ways that one could approach this passage of Scripture. This is one of those portions of God's Word. It seems like it's rather difficult to know exactly how to handle it. It's hard to know how to outline it. It's hard to know where to place our attention within the passage. But yet I feel like we're always safe in any given passage of the Word of God to just focus upon the Lord, and we'll be safe. We look here at this passage of Scripture. Several thoughts leap out. Several ideas come to surface. I'm thinking, for example, of the fact that we have here the disciples had been fishing, had caught nothing. And then we know that Jesus appears on the shore, has a fire built, and as the disciples look out across the sea and see Jesus standing on the shore, you will notice the one quicker to notice who it was none other than John himself. I believe there's a key point there. John was one of those disciples that had leaned on the bosom of his Lord. He had rested on the Savior's bosom. John had a close and personal relationship with the Savior. And so, is it any wonder that John was the one that first of all recognized him as he was standing there on the shore? Could I say to you tonight, beloved, when it comes to the matter of our Christian life, as we walk with God, as we fellowship with Him, as we enjoy sweet communion with Him, regardless of the situations that occur in our lives, we will be quicker to notice that it's the Lord more times than not, if we're walking close to Him. Many times when we're following afar off. Many times when things have entered our lives that are hindering our fellowship with God. Whether it be a struggle, whether it be a problem, or whatever the case might be, it seems like we have more of a difficult time recognizing the fact that God's hand is still in the picture. And God is blessing in spite of what we think. John said, "It's the Lord." I like that. It's the Lord. You see, a more devoted Christian will be quicker to recognize who he is and what he's doing. I've noticed this down through the years as a pastor now for many years. I've noticed that God's people, some of them I've known this, they've struggled, it seemed like, constantly. They've gone through issue after issue. They've been burdened many times. They've known what it is to suffer. But yet I've seen that sweet peace, that joy that resonated in their life. And I have simply concluded that person knows what it is to walk with God and to recognize His presence, His peace, His purpose, and His power within their life. What a blessing it is to always be able to see the Lord in the circumstances of our life. Now, let me put it like this. We know that He can be recognized if we'll just look for Him. We know that He's there. I think, for example, of the fact He's recognized by His Word without a doubt. By His Word. You see, this is a Jesus book, isn't it? This book is all about Him. Everywhere throughout Scripture, Genesis through Revelation, it's about Jesus Christ. We see Him in the Old Testament typified. We see Him in the Old Testament prophesied. We come to the New Testament. He's identified. He goes to the cross. He's crucified. He's resurrected. He ascends back to heaven. This book is about Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The book begins and ends with Christ. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was in the beginning. All things were made by Him. Without Him nothing was made that was made. I'll tell you, when Christ came down, born in Bethlehem, understand tonight that was not the beginning of God the Son. He's always existed. He's always been here. So, we recognize Him in His Word. We recognize Him in His work. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, nailing and taking it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Thank God His work testifies to who He is. I look across this congregation tonight. I look in the faces of people that's been redeemed. I listen to those songs that's sung tonight, and I think of that song that Carrie just sang in particular. To be able to say it is well with my soul, that is His work. That is God's work. That's only possible because of Calvary. He's recognized in His work. Only God can save a sinner. Only God can set a captive free. Only God can put peace in a person's heart in the midst of a turbulent storm for world we're living in. Only God. He's recognized in the Word. He's recognized in His work. He's recognized in His wonderful provision. I look at this passage of Scripture. He shows up at the right time. He catches them at the worst time. He blesses them big time. They've been having a hard night on the sea. They have fished. They have fished. They caught nothing. It's been a fruitless night. But now Jesus stands on the shore to solve their problems, to alleviate their fears, and to serve them a meal. Isn't that amazing? To serve them a meal. You know, that kind of reminds us of who the Lord is, doesn't it? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. No wonder he's serving them a meal. Imagine being served a meal by the maker of the universe. Imagine being served a meal by the divine creator. Imagine that. Imagine being served a meal by the one that parted the waters that was in the bush. And Moses said, who am I, to paraphrase, who am I going to say sent me? Just tell him the I am. That's the one that served the disciples a meal that morning. There's so much that could be said here. Keep reading the passage. Simon Peter's interesting. Simon Peter. What about Simon Peter? Simon Peter, by the way, had been at another coal of fires. Now there's a coal of fires on the bank. Simon Peter, not long before this took place at all, had himself been at the coal of fires. He had been warming himself at the devil's fire. And now Jesus builds a fire. Simon Peter, I wonder what was going through his mind. I wonder perhaps when he looked at that coal of fires, he had a flashback. He was thinking, boy, I really did it this time, big time. But you know what? What I love, though, when you keep reading this account of Scripture, Jesus focuses his attention upon the very disciple that had denied him. Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Three times, Jesus asked Simon, do you love me? Three times, Simon had denied his Lord. I'll tell you, God's a compassionate God, isn't he? Don't we see his mercy? Aren't you thrilled tonight to know that those times in our lives when we've messed up big time, when we've denied our Lord, when we've been cold and indifferent, when we've followed him afar off, but yet God has a way of still showing up at the right time and focusing his attention on us and letting us know he really does love us. In spite of who we are, what we've done, and we certainly don't deserve such mercy and grace. Simon, do you love me? Well, let's keep going. It's the Lord. I like that. It's the Lord. The personal, note this, the personal manifestation of the risen Savior shines far brighter than anything else we see in this account. The disciples had become restless. They said, let's go fishing. You know, that kind of, we could approach that different ways. We could say, well, that's a cop-out. We could say, well, Peter's simply saying, that's about all I can do right. Let's just go fishing. Seemed like that's the only thing I can do right. Well, they went fishing. They fished. They caught nothing. In other words, they're substituting activity for trusting. And let's be careful we don't do that. Let me tell you something. It's okay to be busy. Let's just make sure we're busy for the right reason. Let's just make sure that our motive is right. Churches are filled with busy people. Doing this, doing that, running here, running there, involved in all kinds of activities. But let me tell you something. Busyness is no substitute for spirituality. Let's just make sure that we're motivated for the right reason. Some people think, just get busy. The best thing we can do is to sit at his feet, hear his word, focus on him, love him, and I'll tell you, if we'll concentrate on that, I believe that pleases God as much as anything. You know, just love the Lord. Hey, I'm thrilled about this. I'm glad that in a church, nobody can do the same things. Nobody has equal ability. You have folks that can sing. My son can sure sing a lot better than I can. But he can preach on top of that. Boy, he's doubly blessed. But you see, in a church, you have people that can do different things. And sometimes you have people that become a little envious, become a little jealous, thinking, I wish I could do that. But you see, they're not getting it. The thing that all of us can do by God's grace is a thing that pleases God more. And that's just love Him. Just love the Lord. And I tell you, I believe that'll amount to more at the judgment seat of Christ than everything else. Just to faithfully love the Lord and serve God. Well, going back to this passage, the problem is compounded. They fish, they caught nothing. You know, somebody said this is the only time, in fact, this is the only time we have a true fish story. They caught nothing. Most of the time, people come back with all kinds of elaborate reports of what they caught. Now, I know one thing, he's not here tonight, but old Eric got into him recently, didn't he? I mean, he had flounder like that. Caught him last week. That stingy rascal, he hasn't offered to give me any flounder, though. But here it says they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Y'all heard about the one-armed fisherman? They said, how big was it? He said, this long. You figure it out. You figure the punchline out. You see, here though, what happens, the Lord shows up at the right time and their bad night, thank God, turns into a pretty good morning. You know, let me put it like this. It's always going to be the breaking of a new day when we can see Jesus standing on the shore. It's always going to be the breaking of a new day. But now, my thought tonight, before we go home, is this. It's the Lord. I want you to focus on that. It's the Lord. Number one, patiently understanding their frustrations. Make a note of that. It's the Lord patiently understanding their frustrations. You see, while the disciples were finding relief in activity, they find that activity doesn't get the job done. They fished, they caught nothing. But Jesus shows up. I bet if you could listen to those disciples that night, I bet they were having a griping party. I heard of a little boy one time got kicked out of school. They kicked him out for griping. Well, a couple days he's back in school again. He's in the lunchroom. He didn't like the food. This time they kicked him out for complaining. About a week later he's back in school again. He's thinking that he's learned a lesson. So they ask him, how was the food today? He said it was great. So they kicked him out for lying. Bible says here, they caught nothing. Must have been quite a night. You know, it's bad enough when you're fishing, and sometimes it does get boring, but when you're catching nothing, that all that does is compound the problem. One time, Carol and I were out on Tuckertown Lake. I still remember this, and we were fishing. And I mean to tell you, this woman here, she did something I've never seen done before. She was casting and hung her line up in the water in front of her, and she was pulling, trying to break it loose, and all of a sudden it came loose, come up out of the water, went over our heads, landed in the water, and when it landed in the water, a white bass grabbed it. She's standing there with a pole like that, bent back that way. I'm serious. That's how to catch him if you go catch him. You know, Jesus here, He gives them some advice. He says, cast your net on the other side. In other words, fish according to His Word. Obey the Word of God. Just fish according to the Word of God. Now, I know we're talking about a different issue. I understand that. We're talking about an entirely different issue. But you see, it's when they obeyed, they did according to what He had said, that's when they caught. When they fished according to what he had said. Now you know my application there, don't you? In other words, live our lives in accordance to God's Word. Keep out our own rationalization. Keep out our own opinions. Just simply do what God says to do. Now for the disciples that night, it didn't make a bit of sense. I'm sure they'd tried everything. They'd tried night crawlers. They'd tried minnows. They'd tried grubs. I hope I'm not boring you all with some of these little things I'm trying to tell you here, but one night we were digging earthworms, or we were catching in James River in West Virginia. We were fishing one evening, and you could just roll the leaves over, and there were big old night crawlers about like that. We were catching them things, and my brother-in-law was there with us, with all three of us fishing. And my brother-in-law, while we were rolling those leaves back, pulling up those worms, he got into a yellow jacket's nest. They tore him up. My brother took off running, ran to the top of the ridge, and was just dying laughing at old Jim, my brother-in-law, and they found my brother. His laughing ended. They got him too. But you see, the point is this. Do what God says to do, even when it doesn't make sense. Obey the Lord, even when we can't wrap our mind around it. Still do what God says to do. Even though we're talking about the other side of the ship. I've used everything for bait. I've tried everything. Nothing's worked. But Jesus said, do it my way, and it'll work. My friend, that's the way we need to operate. Do it God's way. We get into more trouble by trying to work things out ourselves, trying to create our own solutions. But I'll tell you tonight, He's a solution God, isn't He? He's the one that'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, they were frustrated that night. They were crying out, no fish. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's a problem. But I'll tell you, when they were able to say it's the Lord, that's when things turned around. And you know, I've seen this down through the years. We are stubborn people. We are so slow to catch on. We are so slow to realize that we need Jesus Christ every day of our lives, directing us, helping us with decisions. Life is too complex. There's too many responsibilities. We can't do it alone. We need God's grace every day. Many times, people will say, it's an ability. It's a gift. It's a talent. No, it's the Lord. Even in a church, it's the Lord. More important than anything we have to bring to the table, it's the Lord. I recall many times in my life, those nights that I've had, where I've fished and I've caught nothing. And I've known some utter frustration myself. I tell you, I know we don't have time this evening. But I've shared a few times down through the years my testimony. If you'd have known me before I got saved, if you'd have known the weaknesses in my life before I met the Master, the fact that I could even stand here tonight before this congregation, I have to say it's the Lord. I wouldn't be here on bones, I'll tell you that much right now. But it's the Lord. I love that verse, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I love that other verse that says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I like that other verse that says, He's a very present help in time of trouble. It's the Lord. It's the Lord patiently understanding our frustrations. Number two. By the way, if you heard this message when I preached it before, you've already got the outline. See, I'm one of them preachers. I'm ahead of the game here. I'm not giving some of you folks an opportunity to come out tonight and say, preacher, you preached that again. Yes, I did. I may preach it next Sunday. Who knows? When I think it's sunk in real good, I quit preaching it. You know what I've learned, though? I've learned we can take any text in the Bible we want to. We can dress it up. We can stick any outline on it. But the message is not worth the paper it's written on if it's not about Jesus Christ and His saving grace. The fact that we're a sinner, we need the Lord. I mean, we can dress it up anyway. But many times, in fact, a sermon at times is like a curl on a hog's tail. It looks pretty good to look at, but that's about all it's good for. It's the content. It's the Lord, number two, personally interested in their fruitlessness. Personally interested in their fruitlessness. Verse number five. Children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. Well, let's say it the way we would say it. So you haven't done any good. Starting right now, let me tell you how you can catch something. Try obeying me. Try the right side of the boat. Try that out. They had toiled all night and taken nothing. But the verse says, nevertheless, at thy word, we will. So it's the Lord personally interested in their fruitfulness. And that's true of you. God is personally interested in your fruitfulness. He doesn't want anybody to fail. He's in your corner. He absolutely wants you to succeed. If any person bottoms out serving God, that's not on God's timetable and that's not God's will. He's interested in our fruitfulness. He wants us all to go forward. He wants every single Christian in this building to develop, to go forward, and to grow in grace and to blossom forth. That's what He wants. You know you've heard this, like the old hog or pig that had, the litter of piglets, and one of them was a runt. Well, why is that runt a runt? Question might be asked. It's basically when they've all got the same eating privileges. That's true of a church. We've all got the same eating privileges. God is interested tonight in our being fruitful. But the key to it is do it God's way. Whether it makes sense or not. Then thirdly, it is the Lord powerfully reversing their falterings. Powerfully reversing their falterings. None but the Lord can turn utter defeat into unprecedented success. Now think about Peter at this point. And here's what I love about that man. Simon Peter, with his falterings, with his impulsiveness, with his problems that he had. Notice something about him, though. He had a governing desire when they're looking forward. They see Jesus standing on the bank, and John said, it's the Lord. Peter, that was all Peter had to hear. In the water he goes. Takes off. Doesn't give it a seconding thought. A second thought. Not seconding, that's not an English word, is it? Didn't even give it a second thought. He had a governing desire, just get to Jesus. Let me tell you something. Here's what I really like. He was more interested in who was on the shore than what was in the net. My friend, if we get that way, wouldn't it be a blessing? More interested in the one on the shore than what we've got in our net. Oh, look at our accomplishments. That's a big joke. Look at our abilities. That's a big joke. Let's just get infatuated with the one on the shore. Just love him. Just get to him. Peter, you see, he had messed up, denied his Lord, stood at the devil's fire. Must have been, can you imagine how his heart ached? Can you imagine his conviction? But somehow he must have known. I'll tell you what, let's give the man some credit. He had messed up, yes he had, but he must have knew something about the Lord, causing him to want to get to him as soon as he could, in spite of how he had dishonored him. Yes, Simon Peter. You know, by the way, he's the same one that would write later on, think about this, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:5. I tell you, he had some more substance than we give him credit for, didn't he? So, but it's the Lord powerfully reversing their faltering. We notice a governing desire. We see his good disposition. He was grieved, Simon was. Then we see his graduate degree. Jesus said, follow me. Don't have time to develop that, but in the text, just follow me. Follow me. That's a graduate degree. You know something? Here's the point. The best qualification for ministry is just simply following the Lord. Following the Lord. Well, I'm glad of this. I'm glad that over 40-some years ago, and I like to tell this, I'm glad that over 40-some years ago, after fishing all night and catching nothing, and after living a frustrated life, I can say like the poet said, in a time of deep dejection, Jesus journeyed by. Saw my heart was dull and empty, gently asked me why. When I had told the troubles lovingly, he came, filled himself the vacant chambers, blessed be his name. Now no more my heart is empty, never more will be. Filled with Jesus, Jesus only, for eternity. It's the Lord. I thank God that one time through eyes of faith, I looked up and saw the Lord standing on the shore, standing on the bank, and he took me in. So you could say that tonight, I'm sure most of you this evening in the building. But my friend this evening, it's the Lord, that's the key. I don't get a whole lot of encouragement when I look north of here. I don't see much coming out of Washington that encourages me. I don't see a whole lot of encouragement when I look south, north, or east or west from here. But I'll tell you, when I look up, I'm always encouraged. I just believe tonight, it's the Lord. I believe God is still on the throne. I believe he's still doing business. I believe he hasn't closed shop. And I just believe tonight he's the only hope. He's the real hope. He's the only hope. He's the blessed hope. And one of these days we preachers are going to preach our last sermon. We're going to say our final amen. And thank God that great homecoming call is coming. Jesus is coming back. Focus on the fact it's the Lord and you'll do fine. Let's bow our heads in prayer.